Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Wednesday, June 11th. I'm Ala Kuziz. Now that a bankruptcy court judge has approved the sale of community radio station KDHX to a Christian broadcast network, St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin breaks down the path that led here and fills us in on what comes next.
The board didn't get to the sale by persuading its stakeholders this was the way to go. It took procedural steps this year that simply disempowered the people who would have voted against it.
That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A Missouri House committee yesterday unanimously advanced legislation that gives $100 million in storm relief to St. Louis. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports.
The committee voted 28-0 to pass the legislation and now goes to the House floor for debate. The bill contains $100 million to St. Louis for disaster aid in response to the deadly tornado in May. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer spoke in support of the legislation at the committee hearing.
We want these funds to be able to go back into our communities to make our communities whole, to make our families well, and to make our state succeed.
The legislation also includes $25 million to go to the Missouri Housing Trust Fund. That money would go towards storm aid. Money from that fund will not only go to areas that experienced storm damage from the tornado, but from storms that occurred in March and April as well. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The family and loved ones of Delois Holmes remember her as a sweet woman who loved planting in her garden. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more from the matriarch's neighbors who say they're frustrated with the city weeks after she was killed in the May 16th tornado.
Delois Holmes's body lay in front of her house in the Ville for about 6 hours after the storm. Some of her sons and neighbors conducted CPR and checked her pulse while others went to try and find help. One of Holmes' neighbors, Shantae Gibbs, says she found someone from the fire department nearby, but they declined to come because the roads were blocked by debris.
We feel like we've been set up. Like they've been trying to take our neighborhoods, been trying to take our land, and it's a setup. They knew it was coming, and they didn't warn us. They didn't tell us.
The City Emergency Management Agency commissioner was placed on leave last month for failing to sound the sirens prior to the storm. Gibbs says the city's shortcomings shouldn't be swept under the rug. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Public Schools has announced it'll reassign students from 7 storm-damaged buildings to other schools within the district. The May 16th tornado impacted 12 schools, leaving many with blown-out windows and severe roof and water damage. District leadership said they weren't confident that many of the buildings, like the historic Sumner High School or popular Washington Montessori Elementary School, would be able to open in time for the start of the school year. SLPS is also in the process of finalizing its transportation plans. The first day of school is August 18th. Separately, the Riverview Gardens School District may close one of its elementary schools and restructure the district. As St. Louis Public Radio's Heba Ahmed reports, the district is facing declining student enrollment and a budget shortfall.
During a school board meeting on Tuesday, Superintendent Tanya Patton presented her recommendation to close Danforth Elementary School for the 2026-2027 school year. The move would require Riverview Gardens to redraw its school boundary lines to better distribute students across its remaining schools. Patton says a demographic study commissioned by the school board last year found the district is projected to lose anywhere from 800 to 1,000 students over the next decade.
We will continue to work with the community to do this in a very effective way that takes the concern of our kids as the first priority.
The school board will make its final decision during a public meeting on June 24th. I'm Heba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ferguson Council members held a public hearing yesterday over a budget that would cut spending to the consent decree that led to policing and court reforms. The council voted 4-3 last week to cut consent decree funding to about $210,000 for the next fiscal year. Councilman Nick Kassoff says the cuts won't go toward police training and were necessary at the time.
There needed to be a cultural change that probably wouldn't have happened were it not for the mandates of the consent decree. But the consent decree is a long and complicated document, and there's a whole bunch of cooks in the kitchen.
Most public commentators criticized the cut, saying it would halt progress and cause potential legal troubles. The budget will be finalized later this month. St. Louis County officials are encouraging seniors to apply for a property tax freeze before the end of the month. Property owners who are 62 and older need to apply for the property tax freeze by June 30th. In addition to applying online or during the week at the county's Clayton headquarters, county officials are holding three Saturday in-person events to sign up first-time applicants. Councilman Dennis Hancock says the program proved exceedingly popular, with nearly 50,000 applicants since October.
I think this is something that is going to help keep people in their homes. I think that especially as they age in place, and I think that they are going to be able to hold on to their homes a lot longer.
County property owners interested in applying for the program online can find more information at stlcountymo.gov. A bankruptcy judge approved the sale of community radio station KDHX for $8.75 million to Christian broadcast network Gateway Creative Broadcasting. St. Louis Public Radio editor Brian Moline spoke with arts reporter Jeremy Goodwin to sort through the judge's decision and what happens next.
So, Jeremy, the battle for control over KDHX has taken lots of twists and turns. Are we at the end of this story now?
It seems so. Immediately after the hearing, the lawyers who were trying to block the sale expressed little interest in pursuing a long and costly appeal, but they said they'd think about it. For the station's board of directors, they have fulfilled their fiduciary duty by coming up with more than enough money to pay off the station's $2 million debt. And KDHX will live on in a new way, with way more money than anybody expected from a sale. But for many KDHX supporters, this is still the worst-case scenario they've been warning about since last year. Now, perhaps there were legions of KDHX listeners and programmers who wanted the sale to go through, but what we heard publicly was adamant opposition from arts leaders, from business owners, even from the new mayor. Now, it is a lot easier to say don't sell than it is to bring a financially troubled organization into solvency. A lot of people in the community wanted to give it a shot, but in the end, KDHX leaders would not agree to any reorganization plan that required them to step down and that empowered their public adversaries.
So then, is KDHX completely gone now?
No, and this is a vital point. KDHX won't be broadcasting over the air like radio stations do. You won't be able to walk down the street and pull out a clock radio and get KDHX. But it will create content on what's called an HD2 signal. That's a digital-only frequency listeners can find in a few ways, with a specialized HD radio, a smart speaker, or any device that connects to the internet. But nationally, HD listenership is a fraction of the people who hear traditional over-the-air radio. Maybe that'll change in years to come.
When will KDHX start live programming again as a digital-only station?
Board President Gary Pearson said he doesn't know yet. But as people start to imagine what the new KDHX will look and sound like, remember, the organization looks a lot different than it did even a year ago before the board cleared the field of its critics to make the sale possible.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the board didn't get to this sale by persuading its stakeholders this was the way to go. It pursued a sale privately starting last summer and took procedural steps this year that simply disempowered the people who would have voted against it. The station bylaws required that 2/3 of associate members approve a sale, but the board never appealed to them to support a deal. Instead, it dismissed all but one of them, saying they weren't needed anymore. With one exception, the only remaining associate members are the board itself. So essentially, the same group of people took two unpublicized votes to sell, one with the board hat on and one with the associate member hat on. KDHX represents this as two votes by different parts of the organization. Station volunteers also thought they could influence policy by electing new board members. But the sitting board controls the ballot. Last year, they only allowed one candidate to run. This year, we learned in court, the board decided ahead of time that if its preferred candidate didn't win re-election, it would simply appoint him to an open seat, which it did after he lost. And it let him participate in the vote to sell the station, but not the election winner. Now, KDHX had justifications for each of these moves and argued in court that they were proper. And the judge heard all this info and agreed with KDHX. She determined the KDHX board acted legally, within its powers, and in good faith to complete the sale.
Jeremy, that's a lot. We really appreciate you breaking it all down for us.
Happy to help, Brian.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin and Brian Moline. Tracy Tong edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ala Kaziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.